ask that you would turn your Bibles again to Philippians chapter 3. We've looked at the first 11 verses as part of our of God's will for our lives, part of those verses for the assurance of pardon. And now I want to look at verses 12 through 14. That's going to be our focus, and I'm just going to just read a couple verses past that to verses 16 to get some context for after our text today. So Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 12 through 16. I ask that you would follow along with me as I read aloud. I want to remind you again that this is God's holy, authoritative, inspired, and infallible word. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Sends the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. Encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. There's a place in your bulletin for you to take some notes if that's something you choose to do, and I'll help you along the way in that. But we want to go to our Lord and recognize that his word does not return to him in vain and void, and so we want to commit ourselves to this study. So let's go to our Lord and let's pray. Oh Lord, we long for spiritual maturity. And Lord, there's always room to grow. Lord, reveal your word to us. Reveal your truth. Speak to our minds and our consciences. Speak to our very heart. Show us indeed what you long for your people to hear today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and let us say, Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the time of the year where many make their New Year's resolutions. People will say they want to lose weight. Maybe they want to kick a bad habit. Maybe they want to get outside more. Maybe less video games, less TV, more exercise. But I would guess, venture that if we were to talk to one another after the service, or for that matter, even go and maybe down the streets and just ask people, knock on doors and ask people, say, what is your New Year's resolution? Here's what I'm guessing we won't hear very often. My goal is to pursue Christ-likeness more and devote myself completely to Jesus. Not too many people will say that. I'm wondering if that should be our New Year's resolution, to pursue being more Christ-like, to devoting ourselves completely to Jesus. As you read Paul's letters, not just Philippians, but other letters as well, you can see that Paul, that was his goal. He existed for the purpose to understand the Word of God. He recognized God called him. He recognized that God had saved him. He recognized that God had gifted him. And so, as a result, he dedicates himself to Jesus Christ, to pursue him, to devote himself to Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 3, we see that that's his desire for, he wants that same thing. He wants the Philippian church to pursue that same thing. And by extension, he wants that to be our goal too. And so how fitting it is on the last Lord's Day of the year, of the old year, to be able to say, how are we going to springboard into 2024? Well, we want our springboard is this, is our goal is to pursue Christ, to be Christ-like. To devote ourselves completely to Jesus. As we look at the preceding verses of chapter 3, recognize Paul says that knowing Christ is so valuable that it surpasses everything else. He says the lay hold of the righteous that comes from God. And in fact, he says everything else, that including our own righteousness that comes from the law, he considers that as rubbish. The Greek word is, you may have heard, remembered, I've referenced this before, is the word dung. That's the word that means. It's garbage. It's dung. In comparison to finding Christ. And so Paul is saying to the Philippian church, look, true saving faith is not in your false securities of who you are, of your upbringing, of what you've accomplished, but striving to trust in the Lord, to trust in Christ, and to obey Him. And Paul says some pretty astounding things here in verses 12 through 14. I hope we recognize just how amazing Paul's words are. Look at verse 12, just as we introduce this idea. Not that I've already obtained it. What? Paul? The Apostle Paul is saying, I haven't attained this yet. He, in a sense, is saying, look, I'm still in the race. I'm still running. And we're going to see that analogy here in this passage. But I'm still pressing on. I haven't achieved it yet. Brothers and sisters, if the Apostle Paul can say, I haven't obtained that yet, how dare any one of us say, I've accomplished everything I can do and be spiritually? It's pretty bold. It's pretty proud. It's pretty haughty, isn't it? If Paul says, look, I haven't already obtained all this. I'm not already perfect yet. How dare we say that we've accomplished it? So as we think about this desire to pursue Christ, of pressing on and pursuing Christ, I want to offer to you four qualities, four things to consider as we enter the new year. Four things to consider. They're relatively self-explanatory, but I want to elaborate on some of these just a little bit, just to underline the point. How do we, if our goal this year is to be pursued to be Christ-like, to devote ourselves more completely, what are some principles Paul tells us? Well, I'm going to offer to you four of them. The first one is this. We find this in the first part of verse 12. I've kind of alluded to it already a little bit. The first thing we notice here is as we enter in the new year, if we're going to pursue to be Christ-like, we should always and honestly evaluate ourselves. To always and honestly evaluate ourselves. That's where we see Paul here in the first part. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ has made me His own. We must evaluate our spiritual condition. We must admit, each one of us must admit we've fallen short and continue to fall short. We've not arrived at that completeness. Paul uses the idea of, uses the word perfect. That perfect, not that complete spiritual maturity. He hasn't obtained it. And this is what blows our minds, because if we look at all his qualifications in Romans chapter, in Philippians chapter 3, we look at that list and we'd say, Paul doesn't lack drive, does he? We can't look at Paul's qualifications and say, wow, he really didn't put the effort into it. He really didn't have a great desire, did he? We look at that and go, how can Paul say this? Paul's the one that goes on missionary journeys. Paul's the one that has severe opposition. In fact, he's writing this likely from a prison, this letter. And yet he says he hasn't been made perfect. He says to the Christians in Philippi that as they're exposed to these false teachers, these dogs, as Paul alludes to in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is saying, look, I haven't arrived and you haven't either. You haven't obtained it. You haven't grabbed a hold of it. He says he's not perfect either. By the way, that word perfect, you see in verse 12, you jump down to verse 15, it says, let those of us who are mature, the same Greek word there, mature and perfect there. He hasn't fulfilled everything. He hasn't accomplished everything. He's not perfectly holy. Remember what Paul says in Romans 8, a chapter many of us love. It says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. But here's where we need to guard ourselves. As we think about that, and we might be sitting here in the pew, and we might think, yeah, I'm not perfect. Of course. What do we always say? Well, nobody's perfect, right? Or we might say, I haven't arrived yet. Or something that's said at our house is, well, I'm not quite there on my sanctification plan yet. I'm not quite there. But you know, when we say those things, you know what we're often doing? We're often offering excuses, either for our sins or showing apathy for God's word. But that's not Paul. Paul passionately pursued it. His desire was to be like Christ Jesus, to be conformed to him. And so we must, as we're coming into this new year, as we're coming into, as we reflect upon our own spiritual walk, we must be honest with ourselves. We must evaluate ourselves. There is something about that idea of self-examination. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we say to prepare ourselves, to examine ourselves, Paul says to the Corinthians. And you know what that means? For some of us, what that means is we get up Sunday morning and as we're eating breakfast, we look over the calendar and we go, oh, it's the first Sunday of the month. I guess we're going to go to the Lord's Supper. Shameful. I know I've done that. I'm sure you have done that. There's something about our self-examination. Be honest with ourselves. To see that there's more work that needs to be done. There's more growth that we can do. None of us can say, I pray too much. None of us can say, I've memorized the entire scriptures. I read it all the time. None of us can say, I know every head of doctrine. I know everything there is about giving or service. I could recite the gospel in how many different languages? None of us can do that. We all lack in those areas. I'm not saying you have to learn evangelism in several languages, but maybe learning it in our own tongue would be a start. We've got work to do. We haven't arrived. And that's where Paul says, I press on to make my own, because Christ Jesus, that's the key right there, isn't it? Christ Jesus. If you jump down to verse 14, towards the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what we've been called to do. This is what we've called to be. This is what we've been called to reflect, to pursue. To not put confidence in the flesh, but put confidence in Christ and him alone. To receive and rest upon Christ. Just as maybe we will tonight after we celebrate the new year coming in, when our heads hit the pillows, so that should be the description of our rest in Jesus. Always evaluate yourself. Always evaluate what you're doing and why you're doing it, or what you're not doing and why you're not doing it. Always do it honestly. Evaluate yourself and go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have not obtained it. I'm not perfect. I admit that. But help me to pursue to be more Christ-like. Leads to a second point this morning. And that it leads us directly in our second point. Our second point is this, is to presently pursue a Christ-like life. Always and honestly evaluate yourselves. Presently, in this very moment, pursue a Christ-like faith or a Christ-like life. Look at here. Paul says, I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Again, Paul says, I haven't achieved it yet. As we think about our salvation, as we think about Christ Jesus, that should not make us spiritually lazy. Instead, it should make us pursue all the more. It should be the drive and our desires, not to be lazy, spiritually lazy, and it's easy to do. But instead, pursue it intensely. Paul uses the words press on. We see that again in verse 14. That idea of pursuing it, to drive after it. The word was used to describe, as many of you may be familiar with, the action of the runners in those Greek games in those times. A literal translation of the Greek might say this: I still press on so as to grasp it, because I indeed was grasped by Jesus. I love that. I love that, or as the ESV translates it, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He has grasped us. One commentator described it as if you watch football, the defense pursues the ball carrier and doesn't just go up to him and go, oh, I'm just going to... No, it's full on, right? They got the arms wrapped around. They're taking that runner down. And that's the picture that this commentator makes regarding these words. It's weird to run and pursue it as with all our strength and all our might, because Christ has already done that for us. He has grasped us in his arms, not to tackle us, not to hurt us, not to throw us on the ground, but he grasps us in his arms because he loves us. And he extends those arms at a cross, and he shows us, hey, this is my pursuit of you. I went to a cross for you. I rose from the dead for you. I'm coming back again for you. If he's pursued us, we should be pursuing him. And not saying, well, we'll do it, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm older. I'll do it when maybe my life is a little less hectic. No, he says, I press on to make it my own, to do it right now. You're not holy. You're not perfect. And that's the very reason why Christ Jesus took hold of you. Because he knew that we needed saving. And he sent his Holy Spirit for us, to us, so that the Spirit would draw us and guide us and lead us into that pursuit. To use the illustration that Paul uses with the runners, to get out of the starting blocks and get down that lane. Paul will say earlier in Philippians that we are called to, quote, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We know that God is the one who works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Back in chapter 1 of Philippians, he writes, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. To pursue it because Christ has pursued you. Grasp Jesus because Jesus has grasped you. That is what his grace is all about. He has justified us. He has saved us. He has adopted us. That's the act of God's free grace we find in our catechism. And yet our sins are still completely eradicated. We're not yet holy. But here we are called by the Holy Spirit to make that pursuit. That's part of our sanctification, isn't it? And I think you'd all agree with me that sanctification is not something we postpone. It's not something we say, I'll wait till later. But it's now. It's presently. To put off, to die more and more to sin and live more and more in righteousness. So we are to honestly, always and honestly evaluate ourselves. We're secondly to presently pursue a Christ-like faith. That leads to the third principle that we learn here regarding pursuing to be more Christ-like, and that's this, is to forget the past. Verse 13, and I consider that I made it on my own, One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forget. Well, that seems maybe a word that we think to ourselves, that's a little harder than what one can just, we can't just forget, right? Some of us say, you know, we've heard, yo, I forgive you, but I can't forget it. You might have heard, hey, you might forget what the person did. You might forget what you said, what they said, but you'll never forget how they made you feel. Forgetting means to not allow our minds to dwell on it. Now, as we think of the scriptures, the Christian life involves a lot of remembering. There's a lot of remembers in the scriptures, isn't there? The Bible warns us about spiritual forgetfulness too. But here is, if I can say this, I'll put it to you this way: this is the good kind of forgetfulness. There's things that Paul's not particularly proud of in his past. There are things that might have been caused him temptation to think upon his own righteousness. The principle here is that we shouldn't dwell on anything in our past that would hinder our present progress. It's like the runner. It's like the runner. A runner doesn't take off. It doesn't matter whether it's a sprint or whether it's a marathon. The runner doesn't look backwards. The runner keeps the eye on the prize. If you keep looking behind us, whether there's good things or bad things, you're not going to see yourself looking, you're not going to be looking forward. And pretty soon you'll see for example, in videos, you'll see a marathon runner or I saw one just recently in a cross country or a track and field in college. The guy was winning and he starts celebrating. He starts like lifting his arms up. He's like getting the crowd all into it. And guess what? He finished second because the person just passed him. Keep your eye on the prize. Forget the past. To take that illustration, we must forget about our previous accomplishments. We must forget about our previous missteps. We should forget about those dusty trophies and those fading memories. If we're going into 2024, we should be totally focused on the task at hand to pursue to be more Christ-like. So let me offer to you some things that we can forget. Don't get bogged down in thinking about your past sins and failures. We've all sinned. This past year, we can look back and we can see specific times where we have fallen short, where we have been disobedient, and we need to repent of those sins. I'm not saying to just forget those in the sense of not repenting of them. We need to be humbled by them. We should never excuse them or rationalize them, but we must not let our past sins paralyze us with guilt or with despair or with shame. There is hope because our sins are covered by the blood of Christ Jesus. Paul will say to the Romans, what? There is now no condemnation for those who are under Christ Jesus. So don't dwell on your failures, past failures and sins, because then you're just looking the backwards and you're not looking forward. Secondly, not only to think about, don't get bogged down by your past sins and failures, but also don't let yourself drown in your past disappointments and sorrows. And this is hard. We've experienced sadness, experienced loss. We have regrets about past decisions. But if we could let them consume us, we're going to forget about straining forward. We must remind ourselves that the Lord is sovereign over everything in life, that even the disappointments and the difficulties come, and He is there, and He's watching us through that. We don't let our circumstances determine our faith in God, but our faith in God helps us to look rightly at our circumstances. Believe Him when He says He promises that all things work for your good. for those who love him, been called according to his purpose. Don't think about your past sins or your failures or your disappointments or sorrows, and don't think about your past achievements. Don't think to yourself that the good things I've done in 2023 is enough for the future. It's enough to satisfy God. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to attend worship regularly anymore. I don't have to give anymore. I don't have to go out and tell people the gospel. I've done that already. It's time for someone else to take care of it. There are people who are sitting in church pews today around the world who look at this at these verses and say, look, I've done that once. I used to do that. I accomplished that once. God used me back then. He doesn't need me now. It's time for the next generation to do it. We serve because we love our God. The purpose of our Christian service, our purpose of our Christian devotion, the purpose in being Christ-like is to express our gratitude because God has given you and me a gift that we could never pay back. We have never earned it. We've never deserved it. He sent his only son. Isn't that what we celebrated just a week ago? And in the past week, it's so easy for us to forget it. Because then we start looking at our businesses and our family life, and we look at our possessions and we look at all these things. Look at all that I've accomplished. When we fail to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. When Paul says to forget the things in the past, he doesn't mean that he means that we should not live in the past, and we should not be hanging our stock, if you might want to say, in our past successes or in our past failures or our past accomplishments. And if anyone knows, Paul knows. Isn't that what he says in Philippians chapter 3 when he says all these things are rubbish? Paul's still running as he writes this. Paul isn't saying, look at all I've done. Philippian church, I'm writing to let you know this is my last letter to you. I'm retiring from the Christian life. You don't retire from the Christian life. That leads to the fourth and final point to consider today. And that's this. To strain for the future. We always and honestly evaluate ourselves. We presently pursue a Christ-like life. We forget the past and we strain for the future. Again, look at the scriptures. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Eye on the prize. Eye on the prize. When Elena would run in cross country or track, I used to tell her, say, it doesn't matter where you finish. It's that you finish. It's that you finish. Whether you finish first, which Elena's had the privilege of doing, or whether she finished 156th, she still finishes. She fixes her eyes on the prize. As the author of Hebrews says, fix our eyes upon Jesus. Paul says here to press on, forget what lies behind, straining forward, reaching forward, stretching out to win that prize. He didn't live in the past. He didn't think about the past. He was reaching to the future. And here, Paul again uses that metaphor from the running world. No matter how long the race is, no matter how short the race is, if that runner says, you know what? I'm not feeling great. I'm starting to cramp up. I'm getting thirsty. I'm getting hot. There's this bead of sweat coming down my forehead. I think I'm just going to call it quits. It's not worth going on. That's not the image we have here. Paul says, I strain forward, use every muscle of my body to move forward in that race. If you're running, if you ever ran a race, if you've ever been a runner, you know that running is as much mental as it is physical. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to give up. It's easy to look backwards and think, wow, look at all that I've covered already. I've covered 25 of the 26.2 miles that I need to run in this marathon. Or it may be one of those things where you're looking ahead and there's so many runners ahead and you're like, I ain't going to win anyway. Why bother? He presses on. That prize, that goal, is to be like Christ. In those days, when the event was over, the winner would receive from the official a prize. It might have been a laurel wreath. It might have been some money. There was a signal, a sign that this person was the victor. And Paul says, I lie what's ahead, the prize. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, where's your eyes as you go to 2024? Is your eyes on the prize? I don't know what 2024 is going to hold. As I was reflecting on this passage, I was thinking, you know, a year ago, by God's grace, Corey and I were planning on going on a trip to see Caleb. Little did I know what was going to happen this past year. I don't think she really thought, hey, I think this year what's going to happen? You don't know what happens in 2024. I don't know what happens in 2024. But this we can all agree on. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's put aside 2020, all the disappointments, all the things, the failures, the sins. Let's press on for the prize. The calling of God. Following Jesus. Because brothers and sisters, we're still running. We haven't attained that goal. We're still in the race. And he calls you to run the entire race. If you remember some years back, I think it was the Boston Marathon, either Boston Marathon, New York City Marathon. Remember the story of the woman who ends up winning and she's way ahead and everyone's like, how did she get here so fast? Well, it's because she took the subway and cut a couple miles off. You have to run the whole race, but you have to do it in faith. This race is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. There's no shortcuts. There's no timeouts. It has to be run from beginning to end. So we need to, as we think of this coming year, to not focus how difficult things are, focus so much on how difficult things are now, to not focus so much on the despair of our ability to run the race, to not rest upon our past accomplishments, but simply to press on, to confess Christ, to profess our faith in Him, to exercise our faith, to act in accordance to God's Word, to obey His commandments, to grab hold of those promises. Why? Because Christ has grabbed hold of you. To move forward. To never lose sight of that glorious prize. To run it to the very end. And that prize, brothers and sisters, is one of surpassing worth. That is a crown that of righteousness. There's crowns that we inherit in glory, and those are crowns that can't be taken away. Because regardless whether you finish first or 156th, by God's grace, you have won the race. So don't neglect it. Don't quit. Honestly, evaluate yourself. Pursue a Christ-like life. Forget the past and all those hooks that you can hang your salvation on. Say, look at that. I attend worship and I've served in this capacity. All those disappointments and all those failures. And strive. Strive in the future. As we think about 2024, to strive to be more Christ-like. There's going to be a lot of people making a lot of New Year's resolutions tonight. Studies show that they'll probably break that resolution in about a week. But what about pursuing Christ? May that be something that isn't just for an hour or a week or maybe 3 months, but may that be our lifelong goal, to pursue Christ, to press on, to keep our eyes on the prize. Let's pray. Lord, you've been good to us. You have demonstrated in many ways, many times, how gracious you are. And yet we've wanted all the credit. We want to think upon our past accomplishments. We want to dwell on our past failures. We want to harbor bitterness over someone else's failures. Lord, we want to lose hope as we think of our own sinfulness, because we haven't attained it yet. We're not perfect either. But Lord, as Paul's words to the Philippian church, may that be the words that you write upon our hearts today as well. That we press on toward that of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That as Christ grasped us first and loved us first and gave himself up for us first, Lord, may we live our lives in a similar fashion. That we would grasp Christ, that we'd be willing to give up our life for him, that we would pursue being more and more Christ-like. Lord, thank you for these words, and Lord, write these upon our hearts, and let it be the meditation for days and years to come. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and let us say together, Amen.